Well, it's great to be encouraged, isn't it? And Duncan over here, I was going back with Duncan on just last Sunday, and he said, "Are you coming to come along with me next week?" And I said, "No, I'm speaking." And he said, "Oh no." And I'm afraid all I've got is paper, notes, and a Bible, I'm afraid, to speak. So if you believe that dinosaurs were extinct, I can assure you they're not. It's 10 years since I spoke in this sort of context, and I thought, well, every 10 years I'll be able to choose my favourite book, and so I've chosen to look at a passage in Isaiah. Isaiah means the Lord saves, and I love this book. This is my favourite book in the Bible. And it's got everything. It's got everything. It's got social justice, 5 verse 7, and he, the Lord Almighty, looked for justice but saw bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress. And I think that's really pertinent when we think of what's happening today. How does God see what's happening? And also, there's God in his glory. I saw the Lord, chapter 6, high and lifted up. And there are the angels all around, and the glory of God is there. And then, amazingly, all those hundreds of years before, there's Jesus. His whole life is just spread out in that book. His birth, his life, his death, chapter 53, the suffering servant, and his resurrection is there also. The whole of Jesus's life in a book written hundreds of years before. And so it is that I'd like to look at chapter 55. And so if you have a Bible, otherwise you'll just have to listen to me. There it is. Chapter 55 of Isaiah. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Isn't it? It's so relevant to what we've just heard, isn't it, in so many ways? Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and feel your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. Amen. So first of all, we have an invitation. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Are we thirsty? Are you really thirsty for God? I don't know, as I get older, it's very easy to become more sort of satisfied with your lot. And you lose that thirst, you lose that hunger for more of God. And so sometimes we have to say, am I thirsty? Am I thirsty? Because the invitation here that God is giving us is for the thirsty. He says, come, you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. That's great, isn't it? You don't have to have money. There's no cost of living crisis here. What's made it possible? We know Jesus has made it possible for us to come to God, to get to know him, to enjoy all that he wants to give to us. And it's interesting, we come to waters, and what do we get? We get wine, that speaks to me of enjoyment, and milk, that speaks of nourishment, without money and without cost, because Jesus has paid the cost. And there is endless delights as we get to know God for ourselves, as we satisfy that first. Poor old Mick Jagger got no satisfaction. But we have satisfaction guaranteed as we get to know him. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? You know, recreation is a great thing, isn't it? Recreation, things we do for our body to enjoy this life that God has given to us. But sometimes you think, do you know, this is a bit of a waste of time. I remember hearing one day of a person, there's a person, I think they're, it must be up north, because they go around all the league grounds, football grounds, in the north of England, in the league, and they want to note the different corner flags of those pitches. And you think, well, I don't know, is that useful? I don't know, is it? But there it is. But, you know, sometimes we just have to look at our lives and think, is this a waste of time? Could I be doing something better with it? Could I be getting to know God? Could I be satisfying my thirst for him. So there is that invitation. And you know, God's word, so much in this passage is about God's word, isn't it? And you know, it's a funny thing, you know, when you spend time in God's word, something happens to you, how you are, how you think. I remember years ago, I was in a Christian community called Lee Abbey, and I was there, and I was given in 4 days to do 4 talks, as well as working in the garden. I was the gardener who made all the cucumbers bitter that year, I'm afraid. But there it was. So, I had to do, and it was Colossians. So I'm thinking that actually, if I'm asked in the next 10 years to speak again, I might do it on Colossians. So that's my second favourite book. But anyway, I had to do 4 talks in 4 days when I was there. And you know, I'd lived a different life because I'd applied myself so much to God's word that it wasn't me, it was him changing me. And I remember hearing a story about somebody who had just become a Christian, and her way of hearing God's word was to read through the Bible until she felt God spoke to her. And so some days she said, I was reading for so long before God actually said that word for me for that occasion. But as she applied, God changed her. God's word cleanses us. We are made clean by God's word. And if we're just open, just get into his word and let him have that effect on you by his spirit, because he transforms. So that was our invitation. And it goes on to speak of David. I have made him a witness to peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. And so we think of David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, and how many people go to the Holy Land from all over the world have been because of him. So that he has fulfilled that. And then we go on to verse 6, and it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. I find, just put that down there. Isn't it interesting that God is calling? He says, seek to the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. I had an interesting experience. You know, this is our God is a God of the unexpected. Well, I was going on my normal little walk, and I found a sort of like a quick way to come here, to come from Pagham to Bognor. And somebody had written in chalk, Jesus saves. Come on board. Which I thought was interesting. Come on board. Maybe it was a sailor who had written Jesus saves. Anyway, But there was the invitation to see that Jesus saved, to come on board. But then the rain came and it disappeared. And unless they put it back, whoever was inspired to do it. But I thought, this invitation is to the wicked. You know, the ones who don't deserve it. They don't deserve God to say, come to me. And the language of this, when he is near, that is the language of kingship, kinship, next of kin. God, as it were, is not saying, catch me if you can, but he's, as it were, with arms open, welcoming, calling to the wicked and the evil to come to him, to be his next of kin. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing God we have. And we would say, well, these people are write-offs. They don't deserve God's grace. They don't deserve. But he's reaching out to them. And it's a very interesting thought. The thought that when we come to God, we become his next of kin. So when you're filling your medical form, you can say, next of kin, Holy One of Israel. There it is. And then it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not... No, sorry, I said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If we turn it around, sometimes we think we don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve it. I remember years ago, I used to play football for the church team. And one day, it was a terrible day. The weather was dreadful. And I moaned and I moaned. Dreadful weather, all this sort of thing. And then the weather cleared up. And I played football. And I thought on the basis of my behaviour in the morning, I would have a terrible game. But no, miracle of miracles. I think I even scored a goal. And you think, I didn't deserve that. And our God is the God of the unexpected. The unexpected blessing that we just can't figure him out. He's beyond our imagination. And when you think of someone like Paul, who was like the ultimate evil person, went against the church and everything, everyone was shocked when he came to Jesus, and Jesus called him. This is what Paul says. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. And this is the God that we serve. And this is the God who loves you. And as we go on, tell me to shut up when I've gone on too long, please. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Verses 10 and 11 speak of a proclamation. And when you look at God's ultimate word, which was Jesus, and you realize how he didn't fit in John 7:31, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem? They'd made assumptions, hadn't they? They thought, no, you don't fit in. You don't fit in to what we think you ought to be. And so it is with God. He doesn't fit in. You know, it's quite interesting that Selwyn Hughes, in his book on revival, says this: no revival has been an official movement of the church. This is why revival always astonishes the church. It flares up where you least expect it, because that points to God, the God of the unexpected. And it's quite remarkable that Selwyn gives an example of how a revival in Wales, it started when a young girl of 16 stood up and say, I love Jesus Christ with all of my heart. And that was the start of the revival. That's God at work. And isn't that what we want to see? We want to see God at work doing his thing rather than our thing, that we don't put him in that box and say, no, you can't do that. What an insult when we restrict him. This is the God of the unexpected. And you know, as I think about the life of Jesus and how God sent him, he died on the cross, and I'm going to give you some homework, because I haven't got, how could God have said, I love you more than how he sent Jesus? How can you think of a better way that God could have said, I love you, than the story of Jesus coming? And so, and you will say, praise God, he's coming to the end. It says, You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountain and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, instead of briars the myrtle will grow, and this will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. And this is exaltation, this is transformation, this is the language of release from captivity, of freedom, of liberation. And what do we have? You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. I once had a friend, and he described heaven as being an astonishment of joy. And we can have little astonishments of joy as God moves amongst us and in our lives. Those astonishments of joy. How did he do it? I don't know. We've just heard of miracles this morning, haven't we? How does he do it? I haven't a clue, but he does it. Astonishment of joy, and so much more as we go through this life into heaven. The astonishment of joy, and we will be led forth in peace. That's the language of relationship, transformation. And the weeds and the thorns are replaced by evergreens, life that will not end. There's so much excitement to become. And we will indeed have our own tale of the unexpected as we move on.